Starting this summer, medical interns that help staff this area's teaching hospitals can work longer. They'll be able to work up to 24, in some cases 28 hours at a time, well above the current limit of 16 hours. And this new rule is creating some controversy in the Massachusetts medical community. Here to tell us more is Carrie Goldberg, host of WBUR's Common Health blog. Hi there, Carrie.
Hey, Deb.
So who does this new rule affect?
Well, so it's a national rule, and it concerns first-year doctors in training, otherwise known as interns. So they've just graduated med school. They're doing hands-on patient care. And, you know, these interns are really known as sort of like real medical workhorses who carry some of the heaviest and the longest loads in hospitals. It's kind of an infamous piece of the culture of medicine that interns face such exhausting work that some people compare it to hazing or to boot camp.
Now, it seems particularly relevant also here in Boston because we have so many med students.
Yes, we do. You know, we're not just a medical mecca, but a medical education mecca. And Harvard Med School in particular is just gargantuan in terms of all the teaching hospitals and doctors that are affiliated with it, 16 hospitals and research institutes.
So what's the reaction here then, Carrie, to news that hospitals will be able to assign longer shifts to interns?
Well, you know, there are pros and cons to the longer shifts. And so we're hearing both sides. On Common Health today, we've posted a piece by Dr. Paul Sachs of Brigham and Women's Hospital. And it has the headline, "Return to 28-hour shifts for interns is a good thing, except when it's not." And here's how he sums up the two sides.
The good part is patient continuity. By being there during the first day or so of your patient's hospitalization, you get to know them better, to learn from the course of their illness, and to have a sense of real ownership of their case. The bad part is exhaustion. This fatigue increases the risk you'll make errors, makes you a less compassionate physician, and is also bad for your personal health and work-life balance.
And Deb, I have to say personally, I am so worthless when I'm sleep-deprived. I find the fatigue argument very compelling.
And I thought maximum shifts were shortened a few years ago, thinking then that patients would be getting better care, right, if the interns were less tired, and the doctors, the young doctors, could take better care of themselves. So why are we changing back?
Well, so right, what you're remembering is there was the change to shorter shifts back in 2011, and the group that oversees these trainee doctors, it's called the Accreditation Council for Graduate Medical Education, it says it is going to keep in place an overarching limit of an average of 80 hours a week for them, so a mere 80 hours. But it's saying that the 16-hour limit on shifts just didn't seem to pan out, and largely because the shift change handoffs caused problems. And one local doctor who agreed with that is Dr. Laura Perry Fernandez, a Boston-based geriatrician.
If the person who's trying to figure you out is then forced to leave by a certain time, the person who comes to replace them might not pick up where the last doctor left off. I think that our main problem is not one of inadequate rest, but of inadequate supervision.
And a lot of training programs lack on-site supervision at night. Now, Dr. Paul Sachs of the Brigham and many others agree that supervision is key. That's really a point of consensus. And I think especially as these longer shifts come back, this good supervision by senior doctors during these long shifts, including overnight shifts, it's more important than ever.
I think anybody would agree to that. But would they, even if it means senior doctors have to work more nights?
Well, the senior doctors are going to have to work more nights. Right. And in contrast, there is a little bit of disagreement about just how dangerous fatigue can be, because some of these more senior doctors argue that, well, they made it through these long internship shifts without major mishaps. But the other side is that local sleep experts say that being sleep deprived, and you hear this about driving, right? Being sleep deprived can impair your performance as much as being drunk. And there's an extensive body of research that shows that it does increase medical errors. So that's the point that Dr. Samantha Harrington most emphasizes. She's a first-year resident at the Cambridge Health Alliance.
I can tell you that I would not want a physician taking care of me or my family at hour 27 of their shift. We know there are problems with patient handoffs. That's what happens when the shift change. But lengthening the duty hours is not going to solve the problem. This will really only lead to suboptimal patient care.
And Deb, one additional point. This one comes from Dr. Elizabeth Poorman, who's now a primary care doctor at Cambridge Health Alliance. She says, you know, the burdens on these trainee doctors have been just growing and growing, and something's got to give. But she says it shouldn't be the shift limits.
Residency programs may take this as an opportunity to innovate and reflect on the fact that if they cannot teach trainees to be competent in 16-hour days, maybe they should start teaching differently.
So Carrie, what do you think that we, patients and families of patients, now that we know about these upcoming longer shifts, what should we or can we do about them?
Well, you know, my primary rule is always stay out of the hospital if you possibly can. But really, more
a good rule.
Right? But more seriously, you know, here's a suggestion from Dr. Laura Perry Fernandez.
Regardless of work hours, patients and families can advocate for safe care by asking to participate in daily rounds so that any misconceptions about medical histories can be cleared up and concerns can be addressed.
But of course, you know, a lot of people are not able to participate in daily rounds. Either you're flat on the back in the hospital bed or you just, you know, it's hard to know enough with, when doctors are gathered around to tell them what you think they should know. I've been thinking maybe patients and family members come this July when these rules change, they can just kind of be on the lookout for interns who look totally dead on their feet. And then you could maybe, I don't know, offer to get them coffee or to get them some help or get them supervision or something.
Okay, coffee's always good. Carrie Goldberg, host of WBUR's Common Health blog. You can find a link to the Common Health post by Dr. Paul Sachs that we were referring to earlier. It's at our website, radioboston.org. Carrie, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
Stay with us. Coming up, a new exhibit at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum asks not for your eyes, but for your ears. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.